Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 418. Science Faction, I call BS.
The world's over. The apocalypse has happened. Why do you still feel the need
to call BS on that, Damien?
To beat me down? Surely your family needs protecting from gangs of roving dogs. Why are we booking time for this, Bobby?
First of all, Damien, the world needs its science, and everybody has been clamoring for I Call BS. People have been writing me emails saying, like, hey, Damien doesn't have a person to play against now that you guys, you know, are quarantined and you don't have a scientist in. Maybe now he can finally win a game of I Call BS and stop insulting the fans. Or like, hey, what's wrong with Damien? Why is he still scared to play I Call BS even though he doesn't have an opponent to play against now?
Scared. Listen, I am quarantining in my GIMP box, as I have been for 7 years. I'm afraid of nothing except for natural light and a day without being beaten. Bobby is essentially Ramsay Snow, and I am Reek. I am afraid anytime Bobby shows me kindness, I wet myself a little, because I know that he is not a kind man, and he is playing a game.
Do you remember that time I let you escape from the studio? I actually helped you escape from the studio, only to track you down miles later and kill a bunch of my own men just to recapture you in a twisted game.
Man, you cut my dick off good. You cut it off good.
Speaking of which, I might be tried for murder for shooting all those scientists with that arrow.
Oh, man. Dr. Nick, just the look of betrayal in his eyes when he looked up and noticed it was you.
Yeah, that was a sad one. And speaking of that betrayer, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. And with me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing on this quarantine day of beauty?
I'm doing lovely, Master. I'm doing lovely.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get back to I Call BS. Now, this is going to be a slightly modified game because Damien doesn't have anybody to play against. So in this case, Damien is going to be, it's kind of like when a racer is doing the track by himself to try and make his own best time. So Damien is going to try and do the track to himself, so to speak. He's competing against himself, and he's going to try and get the right answers, even though there isn't a scientist to compete back with him.
I can't lose. This is just practice.
I would think so. I would absolutely think so going into this.
Your answer was not definitive for what's going to happen. Reek, Master, please don't. Master, please.
I mean, if you ask me if the sun is going to rise tomorrow, I'll say I think so. I mean, I can't tell the future, but all the past observations seem to indicate yes, it will.
Let's get this charade of justice over with. First question, go.
All right, let's move right on to I Call BS.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
All right, article number one. A single melting glacier may end up causing a global sea level rise of 5 feet if it continues to melt at its current rate. Damien, is this science or bad science?
Bad science. It's already melted.
So we've already had a 5 foot sea level rise?
Yeah, it just happened really slowly, though none of us noticed. You know, like I didn't even realize it, but my beachfront property, holy shit, I'm standing in water right now. Oh, God. I'm saying bad science. It could be anything. I assume everything's just going to melt by this time next year. I assume when we all come out of quarantine, we're all going to be standing in water.
It is interesting, though. Like industry and cars. Like, I don't know if you've driven around on the freeways, but like there are no cars on the goddamn. It's weird. It's like you'll drive around at like 5:10 on a Friday afternoon, and the freeways are open, and you feel like somebody's tricking you, like it's a trap. Like you're gonna drive up and there'll be a giant cardboard box with a stick propping it up and like, I don't know, a gas pump underneath it, and you're supposed to drive there and it's just a big trap. Guess what I'm getting at is with all that, it is interesting that we are probably putting out way lower carbon emissions. Like, I'm not sure what the math is. I don't know if maybe people are putting in more because they're at home running the AC or something, but like industry, which takes up most of the carbon emissions, is not doing super well right now. Cars are not running. There's not nearly as many airplane flights, which is a huge source of carbon emissions. Concrete is a giant source of carbon emissions, and a lot of building has been stopped, basically. So, like, I wonder if this is going to be this weird blip where we're not totally fucking the earth for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah, but people are firing up their gas-operated sex robots at 10 times their normal rate. So, I mean, I think, you know, two steps forward, four steps back.
When will big gas sex robot finally get the message that, you know, like, we want the Elon Musk electric sex robot?
You, as a man who likes a thicker, who likes a sex robot with a thicker chassis, you are more to blame. You're driving, you like fucking an 18-wheeler gas-guzzling sex robot. Whereas, like, the guys who like the Asian sex robots, they're the true heroes. The Leonardo DiCaprio's fucking their Prius sex robots.
You know, it's just the Saudis have had us by our sex robot balls for so long. You think we would have figured this out in the 1970s, but no, we're still today, you know, filling it up, dragging that old sex robot down to the gas station to fill her up.
There's a lot of jobs in Texas that rely on the sex robot industry, Bobby, and the fact that we fill up every day.
Well, since we don't have another scientist, we don't have to go through. We'll just give the answers now. Actually, Damien, you are wrong. This is science.
Do I get flogged, Master? What happens?
No, you get a used diesel-powered sex robot.
Looks like Danny DeVito.
And much like Danny DeVito, she's got amazing torque capabilities. Indeed. So this is the Denman Glacier in Antarctica, and this one's been melting much faster than we had anticipated. It has actually retreated 3 miles in the last 30 years. I was really sad that we couldn't actually have Dr. Nick. Dr. Nick was the one who was scheduled to be on this week, and I was really sad we couldn't have him because, as you guys may know who listen to the show, Dr. Nick actually spends a decent amount of time in Antarctica, and I wanted to ask him about this. Like, I have two questions about this for him. Like, have you noticed ice melt in the place you are over the time period that you have been going? So I think he's been going over the course of a few years. And secondly, so when I was researching this paper, they kept referencing the fact that we are always talking about West Antarctica melting because that's the part that seems to have most of the ice melting right now. This is a huge ice sheet. It's in Eastern Antarctica, so it's not talked about as much, but it's so large that if it melts, we're fucked. It's going to, again, one glacier caused 5 foot of sea level rise, which is more than like we're anticipating in general over the next 100 years. But one could do that. And then I started looking at that and thinking to myself, how the fuck can there be an East Antarctica?
Well, I mean, after World War II, they divided Antarctica up in half, and the Allies got East Antarctica.
Yeah, the Pope said one half would speak Spanish and one half would speak Portuguese.
Oh, you've read the history of the treaties of Antarctica.
Yeah, but think about it. How the fuck do you have an East Antarctica? How do you have a West Antarctica? There's a South in the middle, and anywhere you go could be considered East or West.
Oh, I see. I see. I was trying to make an East Berlin joke, and you were making a map. And you were commenting on the absurdity of drawing a map of Antarctica.
Yes. How do you refer to part of Antarctica as East Antarctica? How does that happen? Where? How?
We need Dr. Nick. You killed him. Killed him spitefully just to fuck with me. So you did this to yourself.
Yeah, well, worth it. All right. Indeed. So the glacier has some kind of unique topography on the ground underneath of it that is going to cause it to be a real big problem. One is it's kind of sliding into this huge basin, and that slide cannot really be stopped, even if we were able to all of a sudden magically stop the Earth from warming. We can't replace that glacier and where it was as it slides kind of towards the ocean. And that's really dangerous for us because it means that eventually, if that gets all the way into the ocean, we got 5 feet of sea level rise. Another thing that was crazy, and this we didn't find out until like a few years ago doing a radar scan of it, because remember, this thing is totally covered. It's a glacier. It's totally covered the land underneath it. So if you want to see the land underneath it, you have to shoot radar down there. And what they found is that this glacier actually sits atop the deepest canyon or land canyon on Earth, which is crazy because if you look around, you're like, what's the deepest like point on land on Earth? It's like Death Valley, which is like 200 feet below sea level. The canyon here, 10,000 feet below sea level.
Death Valley's a poser.
It's such a poser. And by the way, hot as fuck. This place is nice and cool. What's wrong, Death Valley?
Get your message straight. This slide to the ocean, like the electric slide, can't be stopped. I wanted to jump to put that in earlier, but it kind of seems out of place now.
It does. Almost hacky.
Yeah. That was the electric slide of jokes. If somebody does that joke or the electric slide at a wedding, you can remove them.
All right. On to article number 2. Researchers just discovered the oldest mammal ever found at more than 500 million years old. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. There are no such thing as mammals. Bam, off the board. I went,
wow.
Mammals are a liberal conspiracy.
You know what's weird? You're almost kind of right in that there were no mammals 500 million years ago. So that was actually your clue is, you know, mammals only came around in 200 some odd million years ago, and they didn't do much until about 65 million years ago when all those asshole bully dinosaurs got theirs. But they certainly weren't around 500 million years ago. But was around 500 million years ago, 555 million years ago to be exact, are the remains of the first bilaterally symmetrical animal ever. So basically the animal along our own lineage. Now, remember, we've talked about before, there have been many extinctions in Earth's history. This is before a lot of them. And that means that at this point, there were multicellular animals that were around, but they were really weird. And since most of those lineages went extinct in numerous mass extinctions, basically all of their lineages got wiped out. So there were weird things that were around that no longer are. This is the earliest thing we find that looks like us in that bilateral symmetry. So what does that mean? If you think of essentially every animal alive today, they have what's called bilateral symmetry. Now, there's a few that don't. There's some starfish. There's some notable things like a fiddler crab that has like one big ass claw. But think about every other animal. Pretty much every animal is the same on the left side and the right side, right? They're the same. It's just a copy. That is really interesting. It allows us to do some interesting stuff. One, it allows us to have a much more simple genetic code that is just basically do this one thing and then also do it on the other side. So that makes creating a body much easier. It also means we're able to move more easily because our limbs are essentially symmetrical. It also doesn't have to be this way. There were many, many, many genera and species that were around that were not like this, and it just so happened that our lineage survived and the other ones didn't.
The Batman villain Two-Face teaches us that bilateral symmetry is not needed in nature.
Well, not in nature, because think about it. Plants aren't that way. Look at a tree. A tree doesn't have tree limbs coming out at exactly the same place on each side, right? Tree limbs are just kind of left, right? Ooh, here's one at 10 feet. Here's one at 21. Some of them are small. Some of them are big. But animals, we do. We do have bilateral symmetry, and that allows us to be kind of what we are in terms of a mobile moving species. But it doesn't have to be that way. It could have very much been some weird animal that had nothing like that. Now, also as part of this, it also has a gut, an opening at the mouth and an opening at the anus and a gut in between, and bilateral symmetry. And this is basically either directly on our lineage or some kind of close cousin to something that became our lineage. The fossil was so small, and we've been looking for it for a while, by the way, because we have found its burrows, its tunnels in fossilized rock from this era for a long time. And we hypothesized there is some animal that's doing this. Let's keep looking for it. And a researcher recently found the fossilized area in which it was, and it's this tiny, 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 has to use a really powerful microscope just to see it, little fossilized thing that was a tiny little bilaterally symmetrical animal that had a mouth and an anus and a gut, and is either our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or great-great-great-great-great-great-great-uncle or something, but it is on or close to being on our lineage, which is a really neat thing to see 555 million years in the past. Just to give you some idea of how far back that is, depending on where you want to count, where dinosaurs get really big, they're a pretty big deal around 100 million years ago. So think about, there are 450 million years away from the dinosaur peak, which is only 100 million years away from us. So we are 4.5 times closer to the peak of dinosaurs than dinosaurs are to this creature.
Bobby, that's all fascinating, but I think a lot of the listeners, like myself, just want to know a little bit more about that anus. Could you describe it just for us? You know, just a little naughty description?
Yeah, so one of the reasons we were able to see it in the fossil record is because we actually caught it mid-twerk, and that's what allows us to tell that it was attracting another one of these very primitive animals to come by. And you could tell that too, because that other one appeared to have a cup of what appeared to be scissorp in their hand.
So, I mean, you can almost picture the exact moment this species' ass cheeks would clap together.
Yeah, there's actually a really great computer simulation of it on the Nat Geo channel, so you can check that out.
Oh, Nat Geo, how far are you fallen?
This was found in 555 million-year-old rock from Australia. Very, very cool. All right, article number 3, researchers have made an important discovery that may save the lives of thousands of elderly people, and it involves rubbing genital wart cream into some of their open wounds. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. You have to rub the actual genital wart in the open wound. It's you're teabagging Granny's MRSA infection, basically.
Now, how does that help?
Help? I thought this was just a Pornhub category. I don't know. Is this a medical? Holy shit! Is this an article? Is this science?
Damien, actually, I hate to break it to you, but this story is indeed science. Though I did take some liberties with the term wound.
And wart.
So one of the problems with older people is that their immune system sucks. And so oftentimes vaccines just don't work well on them because it's harder for their body's immune system to, you know, kind of mount a response and then create a bunch of T cells and then keep that response going. And so you either have to give old people like more booster shots, or sometimes we literally have to create totally different vaccines just for them. Like they have like the kid scissors version of vaccines that we give just to old people.
So they don't get the autism, or they do get the autism?
They're all technically autistic already because they don't care about anything else. So this has been a problem for a long time. This is nothing new to medical science, that we know that old people have bad immune systems. That's why we're talking about the issues with coronavirus. But that those bad immune systems also mean that their bodies just don't work at mounting an immune response or being very effective with vaccines. And so we have to have kind of this whole workaround, different vaccine schedules, all this stuff just to basically keep old people from getting sick from the same stuff we are protected for sometimes decades just from a single shot. So what this team did an experiment with is they actually took genital wart cream and literally rubbed it on the infection site. So you get a needle poke, and then some dude runs in with some genital wart cream on his hands and rubs it all over that needle poke. And what they found is that it actually restored the formation of T follicular helper cells in older mice. And it's really amazing because it hints that some of these age-related immune declines are not permanent, and they might even be reversible with a very cheap and easy-to-administer treatment. Imagine this. You have this problem where older people aren't being treated by vaccines, and so what do you have to do? You have to come up with whole new vaccines. That costs a lot of money. You have to give them more vaccines on a more regular schedule. That costs money. People have to die earlier. That costs money. All that stuff. Now you find out that there's a cream that you could just rub on them when you give them a shot, and all of a sudden their immune system can handle shit again.
Now this wart cream, genital wart cream, does it work for everything or just genital warts?
Well, yes, it's a cream for genital warts, but here it's actually stimulating part of the immune system when they're getting a vaccine. And this doesn't matter if it's a vaccine for, you know, shingles, which is a common one that older people will get, or a vaccine for the flu. It seems like using this genital wart cream on the open infections or in the open inoculation site actually causes an immune response that basically makes that vaccine work. You are rebooting the immune system for that particular vaccine. And so that older person maintains some level of protection against that disease.
So if I'm a caretaker for my grandmother, let's say, should I replace her nightly glass of prune juice with a nightly glass of genital wart cream?
No, but when the doctor gives her next vaccination, you should be sitting there before they put that Snoopy Band-Aid on and just rub some genital wart cream in there, because that doesn't seem like you're going to have a lot of negative effects either. By the way, I do want to clarify one thing. We are talking about a cream that is a treatment for genital warts and not, as Damien has suggested earlier, milking a whole bunch of genital warts to create a cream.
Oh, yeah, that would be very different.
It was mainly just blood.
Any cream you put on a genital wart makes a genital wart cream.
I'm technically most likely spreading genital warts to all of these old people.
The hard thing is getting all the Crisco back into the tub once you're done applying it to this wart.
Dear. Very, very interesting, because, you know, like we talked about the Berlin patient with HIV and stuff, where they're like, technically we cured HIV in this person, but it was this huge procedure. It cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. We had to have just the perfect donor, and the guy had to have leukemia and HIV and all this stuff, and it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars of rehab and everything later. I always love it when it's a guy who's like, I bought this tube for $2.95 at the CVS on sale, and it might save your life.
We're slowly turning into Alex Jones in InfoWars. Buy a war genital wart cream.
You're so right. We're scientific Alex Jones.
Not until we come out with our own brand of science faction, Bobby's Miracle Genital Wart Cream.
He got censured recently, I think, because he had like an anti-coronavirus toothpaste. And I say we do the same thing and we just release genital wart cream as toothpaste.
Man, this toothpaste tastes terrible. But man, it really cleared up the warts on my teeth.
Why does this toothpaste taste like Damien's genitals? Very, very interesting stuff. But I tell you this right now. Next time my parents go to the doctor to go get it, I'm going to slap some genital wart cream on their arm.
You know, maybe you do it like in Nickelodeon where people would get slimed.
Yeah.
You know, like they'd have like the bucket of slime.
Yeah.
Maybe you just start pranking your parents all the time.
Yeah, you start leaving them a bucket on a slightly ajar door so as they open it, it comes crashing down. All right. And lastly, article number 4, a new paper confirms the already observed phenomenon of a high salt diet boosting the immune system. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. If that were true, I think Americans would be far healthier than they are now if it boosted the immune system.
That is a good point. We would be very, very healthy. And it turns out, Damien, you are correct. Indeed, this is bad science, though, and I was surprised at this too, that was actually a surprise to researchers. I didn't realize this, but it turns out that super high salt diets, like unhealthily high salt diets, are actually a common treatment mechanism for skin parasites, actually for wounds to heal. Your wounds will heal faster on a high salt diet. A bunch of stuff like that. Like it actually has some benefits to being on a otherwise unhealthily high amount of salt.
That's why people who work in the pretzel industry never get sick.
Well, no, they never have skin parasites or open wounds. But one of the reasons that they believe this to be true is because the skin acts like a salt reservoir, meaning you get a whole bunch of salt in your body, it accumulates in the skin. That doesn't really happen in your blood. Instead, your kidneys filter the salt out of your blood. And what they found is as your kidneys do that, they basically downregulate certain parts of the immune system. So in some transgenic mice that were fed these really high salt diets, they were able to track this and track the kidney function and the downregulation of some of the phage parts of the immune system. And when they did, what they realized is, man, these mice are getting bacterial infections way more often. Their body is way less able to fight them off. And correlational studies between humans in the hospital and salt intake seems to show a similar pattern in us as well. And so it is interesting. It's one of those things where, one, I didn't know that. It's almost the most interesting part of this story is almost the existing knowledge that I did not have, but that science knew, which was that high salt diets can be very helpful for certain medical conditions. But while that's interesting, it's also interesting and poignant to know, especially in a time where we all need a very good immune system, that salt is an immunosuppressant. Now, we've known for a long time that sugar is an immunosuppressant. So it doesn't take a lot of sugar for your body to have a lowered immune response to invading pathogens. So keep that in mind. And now we're learning that salt is one of those things too. That's always something to kind of be aware of and keep in the back of your mind when we are in a situation where your immune system being healthy is very important to you not getting a very bad disease right now. So, or maybe getting a much easier version of it. So in these trying times when we're all trying to have a jacked up immune system, that's really, we want the Dolph Lundgren of immune systems. Go ahead and maybe kick back on the sugar, kick back on the salt a little bit, unless you get into one of these situations in quarantine where you get a bunch of nasty skin parasites or slash your arm open, in which case, go to fucking town.
So I have to choose between scabies and coronavirus? This is an unfair decision.
Yeah, you need to stop hanging out with the people you hang out with.
I'm in quarantine with her. She's here all the time.
Salt is always one of those funny things to me because like it doesn't take a lot to kill you. Like a very small amount of salt will kill you. But also too little salt will kill you. Like that's what happens when people drink too much water and they die. You know, the overhydration thing, or they sweat too much. Like, you know, I work in a job where we're outside running around in the hills all day. And in the summer, it gets really hot. And it's hard to convince young archaeologists of this. But after a long day of sweating and all that kind of stuff, when you come back, you don't just want to have water. You got to replace a lot of those salts and stuff. And so something salty is actually really good for you after a long day of sweating.
Isn't that the premise of Gatorade?
Yeah, you got to have some kind of electrolyte. Electrolytes are salts, right? So you have to have some of that in there. And so salts are crucial. They're literally how we send signals across our body, is creating an imbalance across the nerves and an ion imbalance. And we do that using salts. And so we need them just to live. But it doesn't take that much to kill you. Like I always said, if you ever wanted to get into like a Princess Bride situation where you're sitting across the table from Wesley and trying to kill him, you know, instead of the Ipecac thing, all you would do is, do you grab the salt and pepper shaker off the table? You go, let's see who can eat down the whole thing. And you take pepper and you try and take a big swig of it and you sneeze like an idiot and, you know, they make fun of you, and they take a big swig of salt and they would die. Like, literally the amount of salt that is sitting in your average diner salt shaker is enough to kill like 2.5 people. And it's just sitting right there. Like, you could theoretically dump that into somebody's drink when they went to the bathroom, and if they had horrible taste buds because of coronavirus, they might die if they drank it all.
I like how in your example, you didn't say Iocane powder, you said Ipecac.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, you're right.
That's a much funnier scene in the movie where the dudes are just vomiting uncontrollably. Oh, God, kill me. Oh, kill me, please.
Very interesting stuff. And one of those that will, you know, hopefully just a little tip as you're sitting there quarantined or waiting for a virus to come on by. But Damien, I must say congratulations to no one, because you got a 50% wrong on that. You literally got an F on I Call BS this week.
At least I went to class, bro. I could have been smoking pot and hanging out behind the racquetball courts with the rest of the cool kids, but instead I came here and took your bullshit standardized test.
By the way, I noticed you said false on all four questions, so you are obviously in a pessimistic mood today.
I don't trust anything that comes out of your mouth, Bobby. I've been very upfront about that.
Only the ass. So for those of you guys who are out there worried about coronavirus, doing your whole thing, listen up. I'm going to start doing a regular, just a one-man monologue on all the recent publications on coronavirus, just to kind of keep you up to date so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to question the info you're getting.
Can you have me on like a dick soundboard? So like, yeah, you have me just making hacky dick jokes, like on a soundboard.
Dick Soundboard is the worst DJ name you've ever come up with.
It truly is. Dick Bouquet, we came up with that a few weeks ago, and that is legit the best porn name, stage name, anything that this show has come up with. Dick Bouquet.
Dick Bouquet is a good one. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe we'll port you in. Maybe we'll port in a few plugs with you. But you know, the general idea will be, if you are worried because you're seeing crazy shit coming out, whether it's that you should take a sauna because that'll help you or other stuff, we will not only talk about what the actual stories are, all this news you are not necessarily getting, like a lot about the smell and taste stuff we covered on Sunday. Not just that, but we're also going to tell you where that came from and whether or not it's reliable and how sure we are about certain things, because there are some stuff coming out right now, even in major science literature, that is very tenuous. So we want to distinguish between that tenuous stuff and the untenuous stuff. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a really deep dive into everything that comes out in a given week on Corona and put that out for you guys. So any questions, go ahead and check that out. Feel free to email us or let us know on our Facebook if you want anything specifically answered in these trying times. But for now, thank you so much for joining us for Science Faction 418, where you learned all about how a single glacier in Antarctica might end up causing sea level to rise 5 feet, how the oldest bilaterally symmetrical animal was ever discovered at 555 million years old, how genital wart cream in the open wound of an old person might actually help them, and why a high salt diet is bad for your immune system, even if it's good for your skin. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back this Sunday for Science Faction 419.
Hi, it's Robert Timothy for Science Faction, reminding you that if you care about your Nana, you're going to cover her in Robert Timothy's Science Faction genital wart cream. Whitewash that old bitch.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.